I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of Nine Pitches. It's a double pay-per-view weekend. We've already got our payback pitches out on the channel, so check that out if you've missed it. But now we're talking about AEW All Out.
Shake it all about.
Yes, we've had All In, we're having All Out, we're gonna we are it's so soon after the last one.
I think this was in the calendar before All In, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think it was.
I'd like to think so.
Because people were like, oh, does this mean that All Out's been cancelled then? Because they're so close together. But no.
Hopefully next year, All In's just on its own for a month. Yeah.
A quick caveat before we begin. We are recording this before this week's Dynamite. So at the minute, The card looks like half done. And we don't actually know what's going to be added tonight or on Friday or on Saturday.
No.
So, we could be immediately wrong, but just bear in mind we recorded it before this week's Dynamite. This is Ross, this is Andrew. Hello.
Hello.
That's Jack.
Hiya. We've just recorded the last one, so we're...
You started this one off with some pep, though.
Did I?
The last one, you were kind of like low on the energy. You started this one out
with a bang. Yeah, you started doing a bit of a move.
I tried to get the
mood going. Go on, do it again.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
Isn't that flailing?
Yo.
That one felt a bit more coordinated.
Yeah, it was a car park of a used car still.
If you've never seen this series before, we go around in a
circle. What?
Lads, I'm so tired. We go around in a circle, Ross, then Andrew, then myself, three times. We'll end up with nine lovely pitches for AEW All Out. And remember the golden rule. It's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Starting with Ross.
Miro squashes Powerhouse Hobbs.
Whoa!
The world is absolutely shaken by what has just happened. Miro cuts a promo about how Powerhouse wanted to take him down in the name of redemption, but all he's done now is piss off his new god who was called Miro by being so rubbish in the match they just had together. But since Miro is the redeemer, Miro will allow Powerhouse to atone for his sin of being a little bit crap in their match. The first commandment is simple. Kill QTV. Funnily enough, QT Marshall and Aaron Solo are at ringside for the match and try to help Powerhouse win throughout. Upon hearing Miro's promo, Solo runs off, realizing his days as a spoofy TMZ reporter are long gone now. Powerhouse Hobbs gets his hands on QT Marshall and crushes the man, stuffing him into a box and shipping it off to Mexico so he can defend his AAA Latin American Championship, but he's never seen on TV for AEW ever again. I realise he's probably good at the behind-the-scenes stuff, so he can crack on with that, but never come back on television, QTV. After Hobbs is doing his dirty work, Miro just nods at him and says, I like you. The Redeemers become what I can see as the Brothers of Destruction of the AEW Tag Team Division. Those big lads, you know, the SH1T's hitting the fan when they appear. They become a tag team.
That's great. That was going to be a pitch, and I'm glad I've not done it. I wasn't going to do the... I just kind of ignored QTV in mind, but I hadn't... I was going to end it with them becoming a team.
I was really glad it's biblical.
Really glad I avoided it.
That was good.
It's 100% a yes from me.
Up the commandments. It's 100% yes from me, because it still then also keeps Hobbs, you know, within something to do too.
Imagine the matches with FTR for the belt as well. It'd be good matches.
That would be delightful.
Because FTR are normally against, like, lads of a similar size.
How are they going to hoist them up for that?
They're going to have to think really smart or lose. Adapt or die. what was it? Do you see Miro at...
I didn't see him, no. Oh, I saw Pierce saw him, though.
Pierce looked like we were going to knock him out.
Pierce looks.
He's ready to go. He's ready to fight.
We were all sat outside just having a lovely little cafe lunch, and who should be there's a slight commotion behind us, and we looked around, and Miro just seemed in high spirits.
He's just sauntering
down the street, and just obviously people are just running up to him and go like, "Can I have a photo?" He's like, "Yeah, just take one." Carries on sauntering at a slow pace. He's not trying to get away from anyone. He's just chill.
A nice guy.
And yeah, he took a picture with Pierce and Luke.
Did you not get one with him?
Me and Akin sat there at the table after they'd sort of went off, and we were like,
damn it.
Wish we'd gone and taken a picture with Miro.
Yeah. I saw that Atkins met Brody King, though.
He
did. Which is pretty cool.
He did, but apparently he just missed CM Punk, because apparently he was hanging out with CM Punk.
Oh, I can corroborate that story.
Imagine Atkins and Punk.
I had a source in the hotel.
Oh.
Saying that the House of Black and Punk were having a meal at City World.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. At City World? Okay. You can get away. Anyway, you can escape from the wrestling fans, I suppose.
Apparently CM Punk was nice to the first five people who came up for a picture, but then after that he was a bit like, oh.
The scenes outside the wrestlers' hotel were quite... I felt quite bad for the wrestlers.
Yeah,
a lot of fans camped outside. Anyway, it's a yes for me.
Yeah, it's a yes for me. Oh,
I wish we could just keep talking about London. Anyway, Andrew.
Yes.
Your next pitch, please.
My next pitch do cometh. Heading over to this evening's Dynamite. We are recording this on Wednesday, by the way.
Hence, I've already...
You did say that. I was here for that when you said that.
Well, then why did you...
Just in case you don't know.
We're going to fall out of me and Lee.
No, we're not.
Just to set... We're here before Dynamite on Wednesday. It's currently...
Thursday.
It's 13:08 on Wednesday, just before Dynamite. So, before Dynamite.
I want to go to bed.
Okay. So, it's Dynamite anyway, regardless, right? Where the New Japan United Kingdom champion Will Ospreay makes his way to the ring to celebrate his huge
United Kingdom
win.
Champion? Is that right?
He's renamed. Yeah. He's done a live storm. What's he like? Crowns up, everyone, bruv. I've learned how to do the... All weekend, I was struggling to do that until Atkins went, it's just two Jerry Lynns. You just cross them over. And then, yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
I think that looks about right, yeah.
Like a crown?
And if you turn it upside down, it's a...
Okay!
Can't say the word.
Oh, YouTube got an M. Right, anyway, he comes out and he makes his way to the ring to celebrate his huge win against Chris Jericho at All In this past weekend. After the double turn of Jericho, resorting to low blows and baseball bat shots during their match, the Chicago crowd here welcome Ospreay with cheers. They're very nice. They're lovely people. Will cuts an impassioned promo, once again talking about how much it meant to him to pick up the win against one of the greatest of all time in front of his countrymen at Wembley Stadium during the biggest professional wrestling event in history thus far. This Don Callis, who interrupts Ospreay to offer his congratulations. Callis enters the ring and tells Will that he did great. But since that evening in Wembley, he hasn't heard a single peep from Ospreay, not even a thank you for helping him reach these new elevated heights.
Elevated heights in his career. That's his song.
It's Wednesday.
It is. Will laughs and tells Callis that he was waiting to do this another time, but since he's here out in the ring right now, let's talk. Ospreay tells Don that he realized something after Wembley. It wasn't Callis's help that got him to where he is right now, but rather the need to provide for his family, as he said in the promo last week, and the look of pride in his stepson's eyes when he returns home that drove him to be at the level he's at right now. Ospreay was there for Don when Callis couldn't finish things that he started, Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho stuff. But where was Don when Ospreay beat Okada? Where was Don when Jericho attacked him at Rev Pro? Don wasn't there.
Okay. No.
Where was Don?
Thanks for checking. No.
Where the bloody hell was Don? Yeah. Where was Don when Sammy attacked him at All In as well? Don didn't do anything in retaliation, did he? Will Ospreay doesn't need Don Callis. Don Callis needs Will Ospreay. Well, tough luck, because your boy is out, bruv.
I was about to say, there's not been enough bruvs yet, but you've done a bruv.
There we go. We did a bruv. You had to put a bruv in there. Don takes a moment, trying to defuse the situation, and as Ospreay approaches him, Don quickly says, I thought you might say that before, hitting a low blow on the IWGP United Kingdom champion and waving in for Takeshita to lay in a prolonged beatdown. It's during this vicious attack, however, that we hear the static.
Hang on.
Look in my eyes. What do you see?
Oh, dear.
CM Punk stands atop the ramp, chair in hand, but he's suspended. What's he doing here? Chicago erupts anyway as Punk runs down the ramp towards a stunned Takeshita and Callis. Yet, when he makes it to the apron, he stops deadpan. Instead of getting in the ring and chasing off the heels, he throws the chair into the squared circle whilst looking Don in the eye and looking back down at Osprey, who's just strewn across the canvas at this point. After Takeshita and Callis leave Osprey in a bloody heap in the ring, they exit past Punk, but give him like quite a wide berth at this point. They have no idea what's happening. They were just very grateful for the help. That's very nice of them. Even though the heels. As Punk looks on at Osprey's lifeless body for a while, he slowly walks back up the rampway again before stopping at the top and sitting cross-legged. And he says, "You thought I was suspended, but no one said anything about not being able to crash the B-show.
Oh, bloody hell.
And you and don't you all cheer for me, you fickle, you Chicago crowd. Anyone in their right mind here in Chicago would know that Saturday the night is for fighting. But just like everyone in the back, you're clearly all backstabbing pieces of poo." Oh. Punk says he's sick and tired of everyone claiming to be the best in the world, and Ospreay's quick jab last week is going to cost him everything. Yes, you checked off Omega, Okada, Takagi at Rev Pro as well, mm-hmm. and Jericho, all in the span of 2 months, but the headlines are still all about me, pal. You want to truly make a name for yourself? You want everybody talking about you? You missed one name off that list, and that name is C. Montgomery Punk. So how about this? Will Ospreay versus CM Punk at All Out for the real world championship to see who really is the best in the world. And spoiler warning, the headlines will be about you, but they'll be about how I ended your career at 30 years old, bitch.
Oh. it's almost entirely a yes from me. But the bit where Don Callis, like, beat up Will Ospreay is a bit weird, in my opinion. He didn't beat really? Him. I hit a
low blow. And then Takeshita came in and did
if
the
there
rest.
Could be a bit more craftiness about it rather than him do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Find it weird when a manager always like gets one over without some sort of.
He just does Don Callis though, doesn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. It's a yes anyway. It's a yes
Thank
for me.
You.
Yeah.
I just don't. I can't have CM Punk having a proper entrance with his theme.
Mm. That's what I was,
my
actually,
suspension
what
of disbelief
saying,
is tested.
Kind of if he's coming out to be like, "I'm suspended, but what am I doing here?" kind of thing. You're right. We don't need the music.
That's the only thing. It's a
get
yes.
Get rid of the music.
Aye.
Get rid. But I just think, come
maybe
back.
Maybe you
and
could be wearing street clothes as well.
Oh, maybe you could be wearing not Chicago colours as well.
Oh, he would never do that. I've seen his Instagram stories. He's a big fan of all the Chicago sports.
Obviously, with everything coming out, I was like, should I include Punk in here? But if he's going to be an absolute arsehole, then just be an absolute arsehole.
Okay,
TV,
yeah. Well, he's turning me in. Yeah. He's acting like one in his matches anyway.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just do it. Go all out.
It's a yes.
Because a lot of people in AEW are being like, "I'm the best in the world. I'm the best wrestler in the world." MJF's doing it. Ospreay did it. And he even referenced CM Punk last week. Mm-hmm. So CM Punk's like, "Hey, you're all bums. I'm going to knock you out."
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Who wins the match?
Probably Punk in this scenario, right? Because then Ospreay can go back to New Japan because he says his contract's up in 6 months. He can go back, defend his belt. Maybe he goes through a bit of like a losing streak after losing to CM Punk. And then when it comes back round, if he does get signed with AEW, we can run it back.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to sign with AEW.
You reckon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so too.
They mentioned it on air, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that they mentioned
it. Imagine if he didn't. What a set of cucks they would look.
Well, they did the same to Impact, kind of. So,
yeah.
I mean, that partnership ended a bit abruptly. Anyway.
No one was asked, though, were they?
It's time for... There's a moment longer of silence than we're used to after a match. You know, when it's like, who's going to come out next?
Yep.
We're the acclaimed top of the game.
Did you write the rap as well?
I've done two lines of the rap.
Yes.
Acclaimed as the best, we're top of the bill. Our opponents complain like their name is Phil. Then he gets stopped. Yeah.
That's good.
Chicago, the Acclaimed have arrived. It's the lads and Billy Gunn with their newly won trios belts. They proclaim themselves not only to be the most popular act in all of AEW because everybody loves the Acclaimed, but also now the most dominant trio in the entire promotion. And that's when they get interrupted by Superkick Potter. Here comes the Young Bucks and Hangman Page, because Kenny's already got a match on the show at the time of recording. We're recording this on Wednesday daytime, by the way, before Dynamite. I thought I should mention that.
Just to clarify.
Yes. And also Collision. And Rampage.
Here, this is the third. If there's one single comment that says, "Oh, I think you'll find the," I'm going to be fuming. They get in the ring and say, "Well, hey, We all lost it all in and we're feeling pretty low. Why have I written like that? We're feeling pretty down, guys. So what better remedy to that than by winning those Trios Championships? They proceed to have a big match, which ends when Hangman goes for the double buckshot lariat on the Acclaimed, but they duck out the way and he takes out the Jacksons.
Wow.
Sounds like Tito and Jermaine and Mike. and then the champions capitalize on this and win, leading to tension between the Bucks and Hangman after the bell. But they all smooth things over and turn to leave, but then the Bucks turn back around. Double super kick to Hangman Adam Page.
Oh, goodness.
Capitalizing on their petulant almost heel turn after the FTR match when they didn't shake hands.
But then Nick was all lovey-dovey on Instagram. Did you see that?
Oh, that's out of character, though. Oh, come on. And it gives also Hangman something to do. And I think as well, it feels like, he got revenge on Kenny, but Kenny was never the mean one to him in the Elite. It was the Bucks who were calling him a jobber and like being really mean to him. That was the only thing that I didn't like about that whole Hangman Kenny arc, the whole saga, was that at the end, the Bucks were there to give Hangman like their blessing when he's going to finish Kenny off. And they're just there like, go for it, mate. I was not. You were the problem anyway. I'm really cross. So I think Hangman should get revenge on them somehow. I don't know who he teams with to do so. Maybe he just beats them in a pair of singles matches or something. I don't know.
He can't
go
back to the Dark Order, can he?
Well, can he?
We'll find that. Well, we'll find that. No, he can't.
Oh,
he's
right, okay.
He's not allowed.
Fair enough then.
Too many times.
Okay. Too many broken hearts in the world.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. But I won't give up the fight for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jason Donovan? Yeah, fantastic tune.
Big song.
If the Bucks were to join?
He's breezed past the Jason Donovan.
Sorry, what if the Bucks were to join Don Callis's family?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
And then then Hangman and Kenny can team together again to take them down.
And I'd be more, I much prefer the heel Bucks to the face Bucks. They're just such more natural heels.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's a yes then from me.
Thank you.
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
Ross Tweddle.
It's Luchasaurus versus Darby Allin for the TNT Championship with Christian Cage at ringside. The match is plodding along fine, with Darby taking all kinds of horrible bumps at the hands of Luchasaurus. We get to a point in the match where we hear a motorcycle revving its engine. All of a sudden, at the top of the ramp, the motorcycle appears, with a man wearing a long black leather trench coat and a black helmet hiding his face. Uh-huh. The bike does a wheel spin, and hurtles down the ramp towards the ring. We see that there is a rope coming off the back of the bike and attached on the other end of the rope, hogtied to the thing. It's only the biological father of Darby Allin, and therefore someone who Father of the Air Christian Cage would attack. It's Sting, but it's not Christian on the motorcycle. Christian's just at ringside, but it's all going to tie together a bit later on. Sting's being dragged around the ringside area because the guy on the bike is a very skilled driver, bumping into barricades and the announcer's table like some kind of gothic pinball. After a couple laps of the ring, the man driving the bike gets off it, leaving Sting in a pile of his own mess.
Oh dear.
Okay,
Down like that, but there we go. Yeah. He hasn't indeed soiled himself. He's just a broken, crippled man. The referee comes over to check on Sting because while the Stinger is not in the match, he's an old man, and the referees in AEW do have human-like qualities.
Yes.
At this point, the man on the bike attacks the ref with a steel pipe before slowly hopping in the ring. They go in the corner, and Andrew, you'll understand this one.
Yeah.
They crouch down in the corner like they're Spider-Man on the top of the corner of a very high roof.
I like it.
You know, I know what I'm talking about. With Darby stunned in the ring as he watches his father in turmoil on the arena floor, that Sting, of course, he turns around, and in the words of Vic Joseph at this point, bam.
Oh, he does this.
Bam.
Yeah.
Bam. And he says bam, Andrew, because there is a spear. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. Boom. That's his boom. Bing. Bam. The motorbike person hops out of the ring and hides. The referee comes to and eventually counts Darby's shoulders down to the mat. Luchasaurus is still the TNT champion. The motorbike man gets back in the ring and he does this. I need to stand up for this bit. He does this.
It's the pose!
Right. I thought he was just doing a little... Yeah.
He does that for 5 seconds. Oh. Christian removes the man's helmet and hides your father. It's Edge.
Oh.
Middle-aged shaggers become the menaces of AEW.
Yes, correct.
Oh, my God.
The pitch is just...
Imagine if they call themselves that as well.
The pitch is just the correct thing that should happen, yes. That's a yes from me.
That's a yes from me as well.
I'm hell-bent on Edge turning heel and join AEW. Oh. I'm not letting it go.
As long as he also starts acting like Christian is, yeah. They're both wearing turtlenecks and stuff. It'd be so good.
Oh, that would be so good, wouldn't it? Yeah, no, amazing. I love that. I think that's mint.
Yeah, fantastic. Poor Sting. I don't know how he's going to be able to do that, but yeah.
He'll be fine.
When you said Darby Allin's dad, at first I was imagining like an older man, like who looks a bit like Darby with the face paint on. Like, well, that can only be Darby's dad.
I didn't Google if Darby's dad's still with us.
Oh, I don't know if he is or not. Oh. Anyway, Sting is Sting. Shivani would be beside himself as well. Oh. I've not been able to unnotice that Vic Joseph thing. Arnie does it.
Bam, so
I've never noticed this.
When he's recapping stuff just after, you know, just after a match, when they show like the like three or four replays of highlights from big moments in the match. When he's doing his recap with Booker T, he'd be like, and here we see Booker, they've counted that move, bang! And then he interrupts himself to like, as the impact of the move happens in the replay.
Oh, I get what you mean.
Then just carries on talking.
Yeah.
Seems quite hard to do, but I don't know if I like it.
No.
Now that you mention
he needs more like noises. It just he goes to bam too much.
Oh, okay.
What other noises would you pitch for him?
Oh,
that's
Oh,
the and then teeth. That's a good one.
Wowzers.
Oh, we've been doing really good pitches so far.
Yeah, we have.
I've enjoyed all of them. Andrew, let's keep it going.
Let's see if we can keep it
going. Let's have a great time on this Wednesday afternoon.
Just before Dynamite.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a few hours before, quite a while before, but it's
a
after
full
Dynamite.
Half day before Dynamite gets on the air.
Yeah. So, in the post-show media scrum at All In, Cassidy called out Jon Moxley for All Out. However, on Dynamite, yesterday, but tonight, there's a match happening for the international title. It's Cassidy defending against Penta, in which the winner then goes on to defend against Jon Moxley.
Oh, I hope it's not Red Penta.
The Pub of Vert,
because he's more dangerous.
I thought it was a bit naff.
That was weird.
It was a bit weird.
Me and Kayla were sat there going, Penta did like, you know, a couple of moves at the start. He was missing for half an hour. Then he came back out and did one move and then was missing again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He's wizzled a good payout to Tony Khan.
Alexander Hernandez was just jumping around behind him.
Yeah. He's red now.
Yeah, that was quite a hard match to watch.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Where you were sat, but we couldn't really see much. It was on the screen.
We
obviously,
were sort of just opposite the entrance ramp.
Same,
so
yeah,
They all walked us, like right past us, getting in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we were opposite the entrance ramp. On the other side of the arena.
Yeah.
So we were like squinting at all right. Okay.
Block 1-2-1, baby.
Oh.
Oh, dear. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? But that was something that I think people in the office have said that went as well, Luke and Pierce. They said it was quite hard to watch, but even watching at home, because me and John were just watching at home, just watching the pay-per-view, it was hard to watch then because there was so much stuff going on.
And
there'd often be a camera cut, you know, someone's about to get hit with a weapon, and then they cut to like something else that seems inconsequential at that moment. And it's like,
Pierce told me at one point, after not that match, but after a match, they cut to like get a reaction from someone in the crowd who must have been doing like a shocked face or something. But they were just a half second too late, and the bloke's just getting out of his chair. Just cut to someone leaving.
Just like an old man literally just there, like cross-legged.
Very good.
Anyway, so for the sake of the pitch, let's just say that after an intense back and forth, a hard fought battle, once again, Mr. International himself, Orange Cassidy, comes out on top and is heading to All Out to defend his title. Now, this brings out Jon Moxley in the Blackpool Combat club who just go to town on Orange and Penta before Chucky T and Trent Barretta try and get involved, but to no avail. Eddie also tries to get involved, but Santana and Ortiz manage to hold him off as Moxley signals for Uterine Claudio to hoist the day's international champion up to his feet. After being embarrassed with their loss at All In thanks to Cassidy, John takes to the mic and absolutely berates Orange for being a stain on the sport of professional wrestling, vowing to take that title away from him and finally put some real prestige on it. He tells Cassidy that by the time he's finished with him at All Out, he'll be a shell of his former self, and maybe it'll be just the wake-up call he needs to kick things up a gear, because Moxley says he's good, but he just decides to waste his talent and potential of being something more. He just absolutely slanders the whole character of Cassidy at this point and how much contrast there is. We sort of see how much contrast there is, obviously, between these two characters. And Moxley gets right up in the face of Orange and tells Cassidy he saw a different side of him last weekend, and he wants that Cassidy on Sunday. If he has any chance of retaining that title, he needs to tap into that again. Otherwise, he doesn't stand a chance. And then Moxley reveals that he still has the fork that he used on Cassidy's forehead during the Stadium Stampede match. Before freshly squeezing some more of Orange's blood out of his forehead, he goes to town. It is blood orange. Yeah, he goes to town on him again with the same silverware. As the BCC retreat up the ramp, the cameras honed in on the smug expressions of their faces. We hear a voice from behind them just being like, deathmatch. Deathmatch. And then John, confused, turns around and he sees a bloodied Cassidy on the canvas, mic in hand, staring directly up the ramp, uttering the word deathmatch.
Interesting.
On Sunday at All Out, it's John Moxley versus Orange Cassidy for the international title in a deathmatch.
That is queen.
That's a very anime pitch you've done there. The shy protagonist, just starts to,
He has deathmatch potential.
I'd like to see what an Orange Cassidy deathmatch looks like.
Put his hand in that glass.
I had no idea what was going on at that point. I was like, is that cement? What's he doing?
Our block of seats all thought he was putting in like the other stuff that they put in a hand when they light it on fire.
I was going to say, his hand on fire.
He didn't.
No, never mind.
But I think it'd be something like Orange Cassidy always just propels himself into anything he's given.
Yeah.
And I think in a deathmatch against John Moxley, hopefully he can really prove himself. Although, I was thinking maybe John Moxley wins.
I'd have John Moxley win that scenario.
Yeah.
Then he can take it off all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a yes from me. And also, it's not just what I want to happen. It's what I think might happen.
Oh, really?
Maybe not a death match, but something like a stipulation added, and it'll bring out a darker side of Orange Cassidy. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Orange Oscuro.
Absolutely. He comes out in orange gear.
Yes.
Right. Oh, God, literally the first sentence, I'll read this. Don't know what happened on this week's Dynamite, recording this on Wednesday data.
Wednesday, everybody.
Yes. It's Wednesday.
But yes, on Dynamite, let's say MJF comes out with a spring in his step. He's learned that he doesn't need to be a bad guy to succeed in life, and he doesn't need to reject the love of the fans. He was doing that because he was afraid. But now, thanks to his best friend Adam Cole, he's not scared anymore. He can be himself and be the fighting champion that we deserve. So whoever wants to face him at All Out, bring it on, because he's issuing an open challenge for Sunday. Is it all? Yeah, All In's on the Sunday. Yeah. And he wants the match to be fair and square, right down the middle. He's not going to cheat. He's not going to distract the ref or use the diamond ring, because he's a changed man and he knows that he's got what it takes to beat anyone on this roster. And as he says, anyone, he can beat anyone on the roster. Wardlow's music hits and MJF's face drops.
Oh.
He's visibly like, oh no. Wardlow heads out to the ring and has a stare down with MJF towering over him. MJF looks visibly very concerned. At the show, Wardlow dominates large parts of the match. MJF keeps thinking about cheating, but he resists, only to take more punishment. He's bloodied, he's battered, but he's clinging on in there. He hits the Heat Seeker at one point. Wardlow kicks out at one. He gets the armbar. Wardlow stands up out of it and slams him down. Nothing's working on this gigantic, scary man. At one point, Wardlow grabs MJF for a German suplex. MJF grabs the turnbuckle pad to block the move, but as he's lifting the pad flies off and he takes the suplex. Wardlow hits several more big moves and looks ready to finish MJF off. Charges at him in the corner. MJF moves. Wardlow hits his head on the... Why did I stomp the... I'm such a pro wrestler.
That's good.
Bang. Wardlow hits the corner. MJF rolls him up. Not with the tights. It's a fair roll-up, but 1, 2, 3. And after the match, we see that Wardlow's busted open from the exposed turnbuckle, and he's absolutely furious. He looks at MJF, who's like on the ramp with the belt. He says, "You cheated." MJF's going, I didn't. Wardlow loses it and starts taking out referees, heads up the ramp, and if possible, to end the show, although I've never seen this bloke take a bump since he started in AW, puts Excalibur through the announce tables.
Oh.
Something very dangerous. You know,
like a Gorilla Monsoon sort of vibe.
Yeah, you know, when Lesnar kicks off and it all gets a bit scary? Like, that's what I kind of want from Wardlow here. So MJF keeps the belt, but Wardlow's got his fire back and has just something to do as well.
And turned heel, like I guess.
And has turned heel as well,
if he murders Excalibur.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's good. I think Wardlow needs it big time.
I know,
And something like this, something so, like, I guess... radical for his character like this, I think would do him the world of good.
And he never got his title shot.
No, he didn't.
I don't think, anyway. No. I don't know.
That would be it's something that I think we've been waiting for the longest time. Wardlow versus MJF.
Yes, because he beat him easier than anyone ever has.
Yes,
in AEW.
So now it makes sense to go after him when he's got the title.
Yeah.
Oh yes, we're in the last chance saloon with Wardlow, so something needs to happen. And
it's not even his fault.
It's not.
They just stopped doing stuff with him when he got over. It was weird.
Then he won the title twice and then they took it off him straight away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because Hobbs and the car. And, yep. Well, the car thing was real. I think they worked that into the storyline. I don't know.
Oh, and he got nicked.
Yeah. Well, he got his stuff stolen out of his car. Anyway, they pretended that was QT Marshall behind that. And
At least
he got QTV over. They are the most dominant faction in all of them.
On Rampage.
Yes. Ross, your third and final pitch, please.
As we're sat here, I feel very sorry for Ricky Starks.
Yeah.
Because presumably he was going to have a match against CM Punk in Chicago, and now due to things that he has nothing to do with him, he's not going to have that match now. So I've written a pitch for Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks gets in the ring, and he's like, "Show's called All Out, right?" He whaps out his todger and pisses, pisses on a picture of CM Punk. That's not the pitch, actually. After the main event, whatever it's going to be on the night at All Out, Ricky gets in the ring on the mic and starts cutting a scathing promo on Phil Brooks. It's not like a wrestling promo, though. Starks is dejected. His huge pay-per-view match against CM Punk in Chicago is presumably a game where Satya and Wednesday, we don't know if it is yet, if it was even going to happen at all, but I assume it was going to. It's the way Collision was going, I think. It's been cancelled due to circumstances that he had nothing to do with. I've just said that bit, Rusty, silly man. Why does it keep happening, Phil? Why does it keep happening? I'm sick of it, man. What's wrong with you? Why does it keep happening? Why is it always you? His phone starts ringing, and because this is professional wrestling, there's a chance that CM Punk's FaceTime call might appear on the Tron, even though it's happening live in the ring. But it's wrestling. We've seen it happen before. "Hi, Rick. It's CM. Look where I am. I'm in the massive and empty Lot C car park here on Warren Boulevard in Chicago, Illinois, which is roughly a 2-minute walk for those inside the United Center, according to Google Maps. Since I am suspended from AEW, and you were suspended from the wrestling by that same company, Ricky, why don't you and a few of my friends inside the United Center tonight in Chicago, Illinois," pause for cheers and CM Punk chants, "come join me at America's newest promotion, PPW, Punk Pro Wrestling." This was the name of a company in Florida who unfortunately had to shut their doors in 2020. So lawyers were not infringing on any trademarks here.
Phil Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
Philip Pro Wrestling.
The camera zooms out. Well, somehow his face.
Is his name Philip? His full name is Philip.
Philip.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like a Philip, does he?
What does he seem like?
Prince Philip.
Damien.
Phil works because it's a casual AM Phil. But
Philip.
Maybe it is just Phil because
Tea Time Philip.
Filippo.
Sam reckons that. Well, he reckons. I believe him as well. It doesn't sound like I believe him. Sam's full name isn't Samuel, it's just Sam.
Oh.
So maybe Punk is just Phil. I'm trying to Google it now. Sorry, carrots.
Right. Somehow I've realized
that. Phil. It's Philip.
It is Philip.
Philip.
Philip Brooks.
Philip Punk. That's such a
middle name? No?
Jack.
He's got a boner.
We're related. Middle name, that's how it works. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know how I feel about this.
Right, CM Punk then hands his Zoom call phone that he's holding to somebody else, who then walks backwards, and it reveals there's a wrestling ring in the middle of the Lot C car park on Warren Boulevard in Chicago, Illinois. I looked it up myself. Mm. And Punk is armed with a bat. he says again, everyone who has a valid ticket for tonight's show in the United Center will gain free entry to PPW. And our first ever main event, Ricky, if you're man enough, is Starks versus Punk. Anything goes, and the scheduled bell time is 10:30 p.m. and it'll finish whenever. Will I see you there, Richard? And he hangs up. And then Ricky Starks just goes, aye. And then I've written down the pair attract a sellout car park and have a barn burner of a match. And I accept it is a logistical nightmare what I've pitched here. But and the legal ramifications of the weekend that just happened are very real. And I realize I'm going to, you know, mean the Punk's not going to be there, I would assume. But I think it would be cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to see what happens with PPW.
Yeah, PPW. Yeah. Everyone's favorite promotion.
Is it a weekly thing that happens? They try and,
is that
like,
a collision?
Compete with the... Yeah, yeah. Instead
PPW
of collision.
Follows collision around the country. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, if they turned what's happening right now, which is awful, because it takes away from everybody else. If they turn that into something that could be a force of good for AEW, then I'm all for it.
The more things that happen, the less I think it's going to
be. Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, yeah.
It's not even his fault this time, Punk.
Oh,
Jungle Jack's fault, isn't it?
But he stepped too far. But do you reckon that he's actually trying to stand up for people who've already been wronged?
Potentially, yeah.
It's such a tangled web.
It feels
now.
Like this time Punk's been step two and Punk is trying to finish it.
I think maybe the way in which it was handled might not have been the best. If he's supposed to be like a locker room leader.
Oh, well.
You know what I want to know? Who's the mole? Yeah. Who is the mole? Because you assume... being football fans over here, fights at training grounds apparently happen all the time, but only a few get leaked to the media, because that's when, I don't know what happens there, but they happen all the time, and only a few get leaked to the media. I assume it happens in WWE's locker room, but it doesn't get leaked to the media.
Maybe, well, in this instance, this isn't the only instance. I was just saying, in this instance, surely there were loads of people milling about backstage, like production staff and all that. But yeah.
It's just odd how it's after every big event, and the only thing we're talking about is something negative. There's a mole in there, and I think there should be eradicated.
A lot of them, I mean, we know that, we can assume that, like, even if it's not directly via sources, Punk and the Bucks and them will all talk to the press, surely.
Well, we know the Bucks talk to Meltzer.
Yeah, and Punk has got Houseman, allegedly.
The House of Wrestling. Yes. Is that his name?
Yeah, that's it. House of Wrestling. Oh, it's not me. It's sorry, right, Andrew. Though. It's
don't
you.
Panic. My last one's not that good, so it's fine.
Oh.
I'm on.
That's worrying, because mine's the shortest one I've done, and it's just really simple.
It's okay. I'm going back to Dynamite again. I can't not. I just love Dynamite, mate, right? Yeah. I love setting things up. We get a segment that involves the new Women's World Champion, Saraya, Toni Storm, and Ruby Soho. They all come out to talk about the future of the Outcasts. Ruby tries to keep the peace. She knows tensions were high at All In, mistakes were made, and punches were thrown. But at the end of the day, look, the Outcasts are on top in the division. Toni tries to reconcile with Saraya, but the Women's World Champion just absolutely decimates her. She's not having any of it. She lays her out flat as Ruby tries to intervene, but to no avail. This sort of setting up a babyface turn for Toni Storm at this point. On Saturday night at Collision, we have a triple threat match between Toni, Britt Baker, and Hikaru Shida to determine who will go on to challenge Saraya in a rematch at All Out on Sunday. And in a hard-fought victory, Toni comes out on top, gaining the fans on her side, and advances on to Sunday in hopes to capture the AEW Women's World title. At the pay-per-view itself, we know we've got Ruby Soho challenging Chris Statlander for the TBS title. And let's just say for this pitch, and I wrote, I'm sorry, Chris, this is for the sake of the pitch. I really do hope you retain on Sunday. Ruby Soho beats the champion and finally wins the title that's just always been a hair's breadth away from being hers, right? Oh, I know. Sorry, we see Toni Storm appear on the ramp and she congratulates her friend, but there's no Saraya at this point, seemingly giving us a sign that perhaps the group isn't going to be around for much longer. Later in the night, we get to the match between Saraya defending her title against Toni Storm. Saraya works heelish throughout the match, this garnering the crowd to firmly get behind Toni, who begins to make a valiant comeback. Even the new TBS champion is here at ringside to rally on a friend who finally manages to get Saraya into the position for a Storm Zero. She hits the move. One, two. Ruby drapes Saraya's foot over the bottom rope. She's still a heel and has been in cahoots with Saraya this entire time, right? She's not changed her ways. As Toni confronts Ruby and tries to tell the ref what just happened, this allows Saraya enough time to recuperate. Blindside Toni with the nightcap DDT for the win. Saraya retains the title. After the match, Saraya and Ruby beat down Toni in a horrific heelish display and grab their now patented spray paint can, only to be interrupted by Money, blaring throughout the arena. Mercedes Moné is here in Chicago. She enters the ring calmly as Saray and Ruby are gearing up to attack her. She squares up to the Women's World Champion, looks at the title, but grabs the spray can out of Saraya's hands. And there's a moment of tension before the former Sasha Banks shakes the can and points down towards Toni Storm. Saraya and Ruby begin laughing. Mercedes Moné has joined the Outcasts. Only she hasn't.
What?
She instead sprays Saraya in the eyes before the new TBS champion Ruby Soho can capitalize, though, and do anything. Here comes the longest reigning TBS champion, Jade Cargill, with a huge pump kick that takes Ruby Soho out. Mercedes tosses Saraya to Jade, who then hoists up the Women's World Champion, and they do like a lovely tandem move of a Jaded slash a Codebreaker combo wombo to close out that segment. Okay. And then we've got a new alliance between Jade Cargill and Mercedes Moné.
Now, I'm not against that, totally.
Yeah.
But there's just two things that have made me... Well, Chris and I are losing the bell, right? I know that was a necessary evil to get to the next bit. But also... I think, oh no, I can't remember what the next thing was. I'm viewing Toni as the heel in this and Saraya as the face coming out of All In.
No.
I don't know. I mean, they could, once they get back to America, they'll
change. Yeah, it could be a different
Ospreay
thing.
Was the face in London and Jericho was there. So, but unfortunately, Andrew, I'm sorry, it's a no.
It's all right. It's clasping at straws. Huh?
I like the ending. I like how the parts are aligned at the end. But I don't like his turning Toni face, I think, off.
No,
you couldn't have done anything right. We've gone.
Damn it!
No, just for me, when you get a gimmick like that, which is getting like organically cheered, just let it continue as it's going, rubber stamping it, because then you sort of lose what made people cheer about it, don't you?
That's true.
She's just mad, isn't she?
Yeah,
she's great.
What did you think of her? I think it was quite funny.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, really, I was pissing my pants. There was someone in front of us who was like, "Oh, this is disgraceful."
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Why?
Oh, well, Liz is bummed down like the third best queen who ever appeared at Wembley. That's what I would say.
Absolutely.
You've got Queen, then you got Toni Storm, then you've got Liz the second.
Has Liz appeared at the World Cup?
FA Cup finals and everything.
And all that. this one's really quick and Originally, I was going to do like Ospreay versus Kenny, but I thought, they probably want to save that for like the final of the trilogy, or probably Wrestle Kingdom, but... So I've put Kenny Omega, after a massive effort and a V-trigger to Don Callis's stupid head and face, beats Konosuke Takeshita and gets a measure of revenge for Wembley. As he celebrates, though, the lights go down, and when they come back up, who should be opposite him in the ring but Shingo Takagi? Hopefully the crowd are excited for this, because I checked online, and according to Cage Match, they've never had a singles match ever. Mm. Just a tag match in 2012. Shingo raises the mic and simply says, "Wrestle Dream." And that'll set up like the main event for this Inoki tribute show.
Yeah.
And anyway, I think Omega wins at Wrestle Dream and could be attacked by Ospreay after the match, who wants them to have a big decider at Wrestle Kingdom Bruv. So there we go. That was a very quick one at the end.
It works.
Oh, thank
it
you.
Works.
I'm sure there is a crowd that appreciates the pitch, but to me it means nothing.
Well, Shingo's really...
I don't watch New Japan.
So Shingo is also a very good wrestler.
Has he been on a Forbidden Door show?
But he was in like a tag match.
Yeah.
I think he was with Sting and Darby, maybe, or something.
Oh.
They were the dudes with attitude. But no, how do you describe Shingo? He's like a stocky, hard man, runs but can run fast and is really scary.
Which is a lot of wrestlers in New Japan. Like very
scary. He kind of combines the stockiness of an Ishii, but with the speed of a slightly faster man.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good matchup for Kenny, because a lot of their moves involve hitting the ropes.
Mm.
He loves to do a big lariat. It's called the pumping bomber, which is basically a clothesline from hell.
I think that would be a really good match, actually.
Thinking about it now, I'm like, they could do some... Mm. Yeah. There we go.
Something a bit different.
I was thinking to myself, why have they never had a match before? And I guess that it was when Shingo was in DDT, Dragon Gate, and Kenny had never really, as far as I know, never really done that. And by the time Shingo crossed over to New Japan, Kenny would be gone.
Kenny had gone, yeah.
So it's an easy one. I mean, a simple one, but there we go. All right.
I'll agree with Andrew.
Cool. And so comes the end of the pitches video for AEW All Out this Sunday. We've got what happened at, we've got WTF moments for it, we've got pitches and, well, this is pitches. We've got predictions and a live stream featuring Tom and Fraser. You can find that at youtube.com/cultaholic/live. And guess what, everyone? We want to hear your pitches too. Leave them in the comments section down below.
But make sure you get them out there on Wednesday. Which is impossible because it goes live on Thursday, Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but
dear.
We've still got Collision. Yeah. Put him down there.
Yeah, why not? Thank you for watching. And remember, life's a pitch.
And then you die.
Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.